Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, and I'm thrilled to be back with you again this week with yet another new and exciting show. We took a break, actually, for summer and did a best of series. And if you're interested in checking out some of my favorite shows, you can go to my host website at www.voiceamerica.com. You'll find me on the Variety Channel. If you caught the show last week, we had our good friend Craig Juntinen, who was with us to share an update and next steps for his campaign to raise awareness about international adoption and the 200 million orphans in this world. Now, you know, Craig led the Stuck Tour that traveled to 60 cities, 78 days, 18,000 miles, and it culminated in a march in Washington, D.C., and Craig is still very hard at work on legislation as well as a membership drive to get 10,000 members in the month of August. So if you heard the show, you know that I signed up and I challenged all of my listeners to give up one cup of coffee a month, that's $4.08, to help support the Both Ends Burning campaign. I hope that you signed up. If you didn't, then I want to ask you to go to www.BothEndsBurning right now and sign up and tell him you heard it from the Adoption Coach Radio. So this week we have Nicole Witt, Executive Director of the Adoption Consultancy, as well as a frequent speaker on adoption. Nicole earned her BA from Lehigh University and her MBA from Cornell. She spent over 10 years in management consultant and strategic marketing before founding the Adoption Consultancy. She's recognized as an information source, and she's been interviewed by Today, World News Tonight, Fox News, Daytime, Red Book, More Magazine, and E! Online, and many other radio programs. I know that I checked out your website, Nicole, and you've got lots of interviews that are posted on that. You're also a member of the Florida Adoption Council, the National Association of Female Executives, the World Speakers Association, the American Professional Speakers Association, and the Florida Speakers Association. Nicole has an active professional member. You're an active professional member of Resolve, the National Infertility Association, and you serve on Resolve's editorial board and co-founded the Tampa chapter of the organization in 2007. How do you find the time, Nicole?
I ask myself that every day.
My goodness, I'm jealous that you have, first of all, appeared on all these different resources in the media as an information source. That's wonderful. I want to know afterwards how you did all that. And then it's just really, and it's really great that you are just so committed to adoption. Now, the website for Nicole, I want to give that out first, and then I'm going to have you talk a little bit about your story. It's www.theadoption.com. adoptionconsultancy.com. And we want to welcome you to the show. I always like to talk to folks about, especially when you're new on the show, about your passion around adoption. I certainly looked at your website and read your story and those kinds of things, but just in case our listeners have not had an opportunity to check out your website yet, tell us a little bit about your adoption story, Nicole.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to. Well, what happened was my husband and I, we actually met when we were very young. I was 18 years old when we met, but we weren't in a rush to do anything, and by the time we got married, I was 31, and we didn't think that we were in a rush to have kids, but then we found out shortly thereafter through some family medical conditions that, you know, it was highly unlikely that I would be able to conceive. And I remember the doctor told me that we had less than 0.5% chance of ever having a biological child. So, yeah, which, you know, would sound to zero like most people, but not to us. You know, we went forward and went through all the treatments and so on, and not surprisingly, you know, didn't have any success with that. So, you know, we kind of came to a crossroads, and we really never gave fair consideration to adoption because of a lot of the myths that were out there that we believed, you know, like that it takes years to adopt a healthy newborn baby and that the birth parents can show up on your doorstep, you know, and ask for the child back and those sorts of things. So we had heard those so much and believed them so thoroughly that we never really considered adoption, and we went straight to donor egg. And, you know, we have our two incredible children through the amazing generosity of an egg donor, so I certainly never regret taking that path. But during the course of going through that process and getting very involved with Resolve and so on, I learned a lot about adoption, and I learned that those myths that I believed were just that. They were myths, and that they were completely false. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, people need to understand this. They need to know what an amazing option adoption is, and that it doesn't take years. You know, sometimes it just takes a few months, and that the birth parents can't come back and reclaim the child once their rights are terminated, and so on. So that's what led me down this path. You know, I really felt this calling to share this news and this wonderful option and to help people through this difficult journey.
Well, and what I love about all the folks that I have brought on the show, folks like yourself who are entrepreneurs and also have this amazing passion for adoption, and I put myself in that category as well, it's really an amazing experience when you have had whatever experience you've had, as you've said, going through your egg donor process. I went through a China adoption, and there are so many others out there that have gone through adoption or have gone through a process and really found a passion for adoption. I want to go back, though, and ask you, you spent 10 years in the management consulting and strategic marketing. Did you work for a company? Did you have your own company? What were you doing at that time?
No, I worked for, I always worked for large corporations. I worked for a consulting firm for a while. I worked for a few consumer packaged goods firms. And, you know, it just, it never felt right. You know, I was successful at it, but I was never happy at it. And then, you know, ultimately when my husband and I did have our children, I felt that I just couldn't justify, you know, going back and spending all those hours away from my kids really just for a paycheck, you know, not even for any personal satisfaction that I was getting out of it. And I really felt that I wanted to do something that mattered in the world, that I could, you know, talk to my kids about and that they would be proud of and so on. So that is sort of when the timing, you know, all came together and when I transitioned into the world of entrepreneurship.
So can I ask, is the adoption consultancy, are you an LLC? Are you a nonprofit, for-profit?
It's an LLC.
Oh, okay. Okay. The reason I just ask that is I think that a lot of times when we work in the for-profit sector, and no judgment one way or another, I have my own LLC as well, and a very similar background in that I was in the nonprofit sector for a long time. And when I brought my daughter home from China, I went back to work. I hadn't really planned a very big, very long time period at home. And I left her every morning crying. She was crying and I was crying. And I remember going to the office and I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? You know, so I had had this vision for creating an e-commerce website called GotchaGiftRegistry.com. And I still have that site now that helps adoptive families raise money for their adoption. So similar, love the whole entrepreneurial spin and passion around adoption. And there are many of us out there. And I think it has really forwarded the whole issue and the whole industry of adoption to do things like, you know, really break the myths and really make it something that people will consider as a way of building their families. So tell us a little bit about the adoption consultancy. Are you an adoption agency?
No, I'm not an adoption agency. I'm a consultancy, and I tell people sort of a simple way to get it is that we're kind of like wedding planners for adoption, okay? So, okay. You know, we guide people step by step through the process. We connect them with the resources, you know, that can help them every step along the way. We provide a lot of education about what to expect and so on. Importantly, one of the things that we don't do is that we don't work with birth mothers. We don't do matching. So we're not facilitators. That's a very different area. So again, like I said, we're sort of like that wedding planner and really just helping people, guiding people step by step through the whole thing so that it's not as overwhelming to them.
So when you're guiding them through step by step through the whole thing, are you working in tandem with an agency then to get the dossier? Do you do the dossier or the social workers? You're working with all these people to bring them together. Is that how you're doing it and you're working with an agency?
Well, I have a nationwide network of agencies and attorneys with whom I work. Mm-hmm. So part of what I do is that I create a customized plan for each client with multiple agencies and attorneys who I think will be able to help them best, you know, once I get to know them and what their parameters are and what they're looking for and their personalities and so on, so that they don't have to do all that research and all the legwork on the different places out there and wondering about who to trust and so on. So I create this plan, and then typically my clients will sign up with multiple different agencies, because one of the criteria for the agencies that I work with is that they charge very little, if anything, up front. Okay, so we're not talking mm-hmm. about the places that charge thousands of dollars just to sign up with them. So that way my clients can afford to sign up with maybe four or five or six different agencies or attorneys. So that way they have exposure to a lot more potential birth moms than if they were just signed up with one agency.
Oh, that is interesting.
And another part of what we do is that we help them create a really strong profile, which is kind of like a scrapbook that birth moms use to select mm-hmm. the adoptive parents. So that combination of having opportunities with lots of potential birth moms and then having a really strong standout profile is how our clients tend to adopt very quickly.
That's wonderful. And I noticed that on your website that you have some times, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. We've got to take a break. You're listening to Nicole Witt, Executive Director of Adoption Consultancy. And I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328. 6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union. On approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
News. Opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with Nicole Witt, Executive Director of Adoption Consultancy. We're learning more from Nicole about what she does, and to use her terminology, they are, the Adoption Consultancy are wedding planners for the adoption process, right, Nicole?
Exactly.
I like that. I think that's a really good way of describing what your services are. And as you were talking in the last segment about your services, how you create a plan for the folks that you work with through a nationwide network. Now, I'd ask you during the break about you, do you facilitate both domestic and international adoptions?
Well, I like to always be careful of that word facilitate because it does have legal implications, and we don't do that. But we do work with clients who are interested in either. With international adoption, you know, when people are kind of deciding, we'll help them in the beginning go through the myths versus the realities and the pros versus the cons so that they really understand, you know, what they're choosing between and they can make an informed choice. These days, because there aren't as many strong international options as there were even a few years ago, most people are choosing domestic. I think that's going to, the pendulum's going to swing back again in a few years as some new countries open up, but that's kind of where it is right now. But if international is the right fit for a client, we help them kind of narrow down what's the best country or maybe best one or two countries for them, and then we connect them with the best agency for them for that country. With international adoption, you only want to be working with one agency. And once you're signed up with that agency, they'll really hold your hand and walk you step by step through the process. Right. So those clients don't really need our services so much from that point forward. It's more of an upfront guidance that we're providing versus all the way through as we do with domestic adoption.
And I want to go back to this facilitator terminology again, because I don't think a lot of our listeners know that that is a legal terminology. Can you describe that?
Sure. What facilitators do is that they work with birth mothers and they connect adoptive parents with birth mothers, and that's what they get paid to do. Facilitators are highly legal, you know, perfectly legal and highly regulated in some states, like in California, and they're completely illegal in other states. So, you know, it can be a little sketchy if people are in a state, you know, and they're not as familiar with their laws and they don't know if they can work with a facilitator right. from another state, et cetera. So it's something to just, you have to be educated about, you have to know about. Consultants, we don't work with birth moms. The agencies and attorneys that we work with are the ones who work with the birth moms and do the matching. So it's legal for anyone from any state to work with a consultant.
I see. And then, so back to the types of adoption that you actually work with for families. Do you ever get into the foster to adopt programs at all? Is that an option for you? And understanding that that's a totally different process, but I'm sure you might actually work with some folks that are interested in that. Would you say?
It is a completely different process, and that's not an area that we work with. I know enough about it to certainly guide people and, again, talk about the pros and the cons and the myths versus the realities. But if that's the path that they choose, then they really just need to work through their state system.
We
really, almost all of our clients are pursuing the private domestic adoption path, whether through agencies or through attorneys, and that's where we focus.
Well, and on your website, when you go to Nicole's website, which is www.theadoptionconsultancy.com, you'll find that you've been on, and as I said in your bio, you've been on so many broadcasts talking about adoption. What do you think is, like, today, right now, if you were to give a snapshot, what's the biggest concern about domestic adoption right now?
I think that the biggest concern for people who are considering it and starting to approach it is that are there going to be babies to adopt? Now single motherhood is obviously so much more accepted than it used to be. There's much more access to and it's much more socially acceptable to terminate a pregnancy, especially with things like the morning after pill, becoming more accessible and so on. So there are fewer babies out there available for adoption than there used to be. So it is harder for people to get selected, and wait times can be longer unless people take a really proactive approach about it. So I think it does involve more action on the part of the adoptive parents, but I think that's the biggest concern, that there are fewer opportunities out there, and people just are fearful that what if it never happens for them?
Right. And because there are so many, which is the good side of that, is there are so many choices for birth moms out there. And one of the things I'd be curious to know your opinion about, and that is just the internet. I've talked to a lot of folks, about advertising, advertising your adoption. We've had a couple of specialists on the show, Amanda Grant from US Adopt, who has been on the show a couple of times. So the internet, talk a little bit about that, because that just is a whole different playing field. It has changed domestic adoption and the access in such a big way.
It really has, and it's changed it at every step of the process, whether from connecting with a birth mom beforehand to have her select you and to place with you, to ongoing connection after the placement, and every point in between. I think that there's a couple things, as I'm sure some of your other guests have talked about, it can be a very effective way and sometimes very inexpensive way to connect with a birth mom and to adopt. There are also aspects of it that some people are uncomfortable with. It does tend to lead to significantly more open adoptions. And although, closed adoptions don't really happen anymore, a lot of people that I work with are looking more for sort of those semi-open situations, which that still kind of tends to go more through the typical agency or attorney process. The other thing is that you have to be a lot more vigilant because you're doing a lot more of the work yourself versus having, the experts in an agency or whatever kind of, check out the legality of the situation and so on. So by going out there on the internet, you are more open to, disreputable people or people who are potentially scamming and so on. So you need to put the checks and balances into place. I think it's a lot easier to deceive somebody from behind a computer screen than versus walking into an agency in person. So it's given people a lot more options, which is wonderful, but there are risks associated with those options that people need to be aware of, and they need to put steps in place to protect themselves.
Well, and I can tell you that even in working with the families that I have worked with when I coach them about raising money for adoption, for their adoptions, they oftentimes will share their stories with me. And even, Facebook, for example, or any of those social media networks, You do just have to be very, very careful about how you communicate, what you communicate, how you communicate first, second, third, what you talk about. And it's not to suggest that this is a bad thing, but you just need to have caution because it's just very, very open.
Absolutely.
I want to switch for just a minute because I think that if a person were considering just in general adoption now, you know, for myself, my husband and I, we had already decided early on that we wanted to do an international adoption, and I had personally already decided that I wanted to do an adoption from China. And he kind of followed along in that particular process with me. And now, of course, we're the proud parents of a six-year-old girl. I can't believe she's turning seven in September. That's just amazing to me.
Right?
Yeah, it's really an amazing experience. And I think you may know that I've had Chuck Juntanen, or excuse me, Craig Juntanen on the show several times about his documentary Stuck. International adoption, it's scary for me because I'm afraid that people are going to be afraid of that. And so I don't think that you can really go into adoption. You know, obviously you have concerns and questions, but what are your thoughts about the path of international adoption right now?
Well, as I've mentioned, you know, right now there are fewer countries available, especially ones that have sort of large, stable programs. You know, very few people want to be sort of trailblazers when it comes to international adoption, you know, because there is so much at risk.
Right.
So there really aren't a lot of great options right now, and especially for single women. You know, international adoption used to be a great option for single women from countries like Vietnam and Guatemala and even China at one point. Yeah. And those options aren't available right now. There are some other countries, especially some countries in Latin America, where there are some pilot programs, and those will hopefully be opening up and, you know, may become some nice, large, stable programs for people. But I feel that right now, you know, we're really in a state of flux that, you know, there are risks involved. Even the countries that are open have indicated desires to close down and so on. And
right.
It's just not that same safe landscape as it used to be. You know, there's much more of a possibility that you could be in the midst of a process and a country could shut down its program.
Right.
So it's just people, again, it just need to be aware of the pros and the cons and make informed decisions.
Yes, exactly. Well, we're going to come back. We need to take a break. We're with Nicole Witt, who is Executive Director of the Adoption Consultancy, and a call out to our sponsors, Beacon House Adoptions, America's Christian Credit Union, and Adoption Mosaic. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
If you're considering adoption and feeling overwhelmed, you're not alone. U.S. Adopt can help. We provide domestic adoption consulting services that simplify and shorten your path to parenthood. Our new approach improves and accelerates your results, minimizes expenses, and eliminates costly mistakes. Whether you choose to work with an agency or attorney, to take advantage of our free consultation and learn how we can help you, please call U.S. Adopt at 212-710-2763 or visit www.usadopt.com.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Back with Nicole Witt with the Adoption Consultancy. If you want to find out more information about Nicole, you can go to her website at www.theadoptionconsultancy.com. And we were just talking about the services that Nicole provides in terms of calling herself or referring to her services as the wedding planners through the adoption process. They help families to create a plan, and they work from a nationwide network. So they are consultants. They are not facilitators. And Nicole has been really good to kind of describe that whole process to us so that we better understand that. So, Nicole, you talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about your infertility path. And a question that I am wondering about, and that is, you know, so how do you know if it's infertility or adoption? How do you know when to stop one thing and start another? I mean, I'm sure that it is a deeply personal experience, but
yeah,
when you do this counseling with your families and having been through this, you know, yourself, talk to us a little bit about that, about when is the point at which you really want to say, okay, it's time to shift?
Right, and that is, of course, a deeply personal decision, and it's a conversation that we have frequently, not so much as part of the adoption consultancy, because usually, you know, clients have made that decision to adopt before they contact me. But as you mentioned at the beginning, I co-lead the Tampa chapter of Resolve, which is the National Infertility Association, and we do a support group every month. So we have those conversations a lot in that environment. And, you know, it's one of the things that I always tell people is that when you come to adoption, you can't feel like, oh boy, you know, this is the next step in what I have to do, and it's probably going to fail because everything else has failed, and so on. And it's understandable to feel that way, you know, when you've been through a difficult infertility journey, but you can't enter into adoption with that mindset, because that is going to be a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it is going to, you know, make it much more difficult to establish positive relationships and to have success in the adoption world. You know, you really sort of need to be at that point where you feel like, you know, this is the first step of a new and exciting journey that I know is going to work, because adoption does work. And for people who are really struggling to get from, you know, point A to point B with that, I always do, you know, recommend at minimum attending a support group, whether it be an online one or an in-person one, but also perhaps seeking out a professional therapist to help them with that, because it really is a very important distinction. And there are so many other opportunities that people can pursue as well. You know, not only is there IUI and IVF, but, you know, there's donor egg and donor sperm and donor embryos, and there's surrogacy and so on. So, you know, they all have their pros and cons and unfortunately their price tags, but people need to make informed choices, you know, between these options, and not only based on the financials, but also the emotionals and what they're comfortable with.
Right. And I'll just share that there are many families that I have coached and worked with that have come from infertility and have made the decision to adopt, and they're already, typically my services will kick in when families have already decided to adopt, although now I offer my services to adoption agencies. So I'm no longer coaching families one-on-one. But the point of that is to say that there's an emotional expense here, but this is deep pocket stuff. I mean, if you've already been through an infertility path and now you're choosing adoption, this is, you know, eat nails for breakfast, because this is an expensive road to go on. And people are not only emotionally wounded, but they're also, their pocketbooks are really wounded.
Yeah.
So I think your recommendation to talk to a therapist first is probably a good idea. Talk to us a little bit about, your membership with Resolve. I know that Resolve is the National Infertility Association. Don't they have a conference coming up? Because I remember seeing something like that coming up in September.
They have several conferences throughout the country, throughout the year. So there is one in September that's in the Midwest. That's in Minneapolis. And then they are partners in a conference that's taking place in Houston in November. There's frequently one in the D.C. area each year. And, you know, even there are other large reproductive endocrinologist offices that will partner with each other and with other organizations to do large conferences as well. There's one here that does a conference in Tampa every year. So people can get onto the Resolve website at resolve.org and look around and try to find one in their area.
Okay, okay. And I know that, for example, there is a very good one here in Kansas City. I actually had them on the show talking about the Kansas City conference. So one of the things that you mentioned is that all of these various different options, and you mentioned those very quickly, say them again in terms of the infertility path. What are those options that you had mentioned?
People usually, where a lot of people start, and of course this is all based on the recommendation of their doctor and their particular medical condition, would be with IUI, intrauterine insemination, and that's kind of the least invasive and often the least expensive approach. And in most people's cases, that's kind of what they will start first for a couple of months before they go into IVF. That's not something that I did, because we just knew that given my medical situation, that wasn't going to work, and we did have to jump right to IVF, which is, you know, what some people have to do. So, you know, IVF and in vitro fertilization is significantly more expensive. It's going to depend on people's insurance coverage. There are some states where coverage is mandated. There are some companies that offer wonderful coverage, but I would say, sadly, the majority of people probably don't have coverage for it. I know that we did not. And that is traditional IVF is with a couple's, you know, own eggs and own sperm. If there is a medical issue with either one of those, or perhaps it's a single person or a same-sex couple, then there are options of using an egg donor like we did, or a sperm donor, or an area that is very small but is growing, is a donated embryo.
Right.
And then sometimes that's done in conjunction with surrogacy. Sometimes surrogacy is just done separately. You know, if a woman, you know, there's nothing wrong in terms of her eggs, but she can't carry a pregnancy. Surrogacy is a very expensive option. I mean, it's all relative. You know, all of these choices, like you said, do require some deep pockets. Surrogacy is probably one of the most expensive ones, but, you know, there are a lot of pros to it, too, you know, in terms of having a little bit more say in the prenatal environment and that sort of thing, you know, compared to adoption, for instance.
Right, right. And so, I mean, thanks to science, we have a lot of options that are out there. And again, you know, you can go to, if you're interested in these various different options in terms of the infertility route, you can go to resolve.org as Nicole has suggested today. But if you want some more information about what Nicole does, you can find out more about her on the web, on her website at www.theadoptionconsultancy.com. And we're going to take a little break here in about a minute. And when we get back, I noticed on the website, or even maybe it was a telecast that you were on that talked about Florida being one of the best states to adopt. And I want to hear if that's true or why or, you know, and I think that a lot of times folks need to really understand, especially if you do switching back to domestic adoption. If you do domestic adoption, you really do have to have an understanding for the state laws, especially the one you are in. But then also if you go out of state and you adopt a child. So you need to do that. I do want to do a call out and thank America's Christian Credit Union for sponsoring our show. Since the beginning, our show has been around since our first broadcast was June 2nd, 2012. We've reached over 300,000 listeners with our show. And to date, America's Christian Credit Union has helped over 1,000 adoptions and invested over $200 million in children and their new families. We want to do a call out to America's Christian Credit Union for sponsoring our show. And if you'd like to learn more about them, you can go to www.americaschristiancu.com. They have some amazing products and programs for adoptive families. And when I talk about deep pockets, yes, you do have to have access to money to do either infertility or adoption or both. However, I do want to say that there's a lot of help out there, including the My Adoption Finance Coaching System or America's Christian Credit Union. There's a lot of help that's out there. So don't do this because you can't afford it, because there are certainly folks and agencies that can help you. Beacon House Adoptions is one of our adoption agencies that has our system. So if you'd like to find more information about them, you can go to www.beaconhouseadoption.com. Again, I'm with Nicole Witt with the Adoption Consultancy. I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, and I'm happy to have you with me, Nicole, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our All-Star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the Adoption Finance Coaching System, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. To connect with Kelly or her guests today, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Would you rather send us an email? Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Back with Nicole Witt, the Adoption Consultancy. You can find out information about Nicole on her website at www.theadoptionconsultancy.com. Nicole is a known professional speaker on the topic of adoption. She's just been interviewed by a number of different radio and TV, and articles have been written, and so she's a real expert in adoption. So glad to have her with us today. You have to go on her website and check out all of the media clips that she has. So we were talking before we went on break about Florida. So I've heard this thing that Florida is the best state to adopt. Now, you live there, right?
Correct.
Okay. So a little bit of a bias here. We're just going to be totally transparent about that. So tell us, why is Florida the best state to adopt, Nicole?
It's mostly because of the laws, the adoption laws. So from the adoptive parent's perspective, it's one of the best states to adopt from because the laws are very protective of the adoptive parents. One of the things being that once the birth parents sign the consent forms, that they are immediately irrevocable. There's no window of opportunity for a birth parent to just simply change their mind and regain custody. Now, there are several states that have that law, as there are several states that do have revocation periods, some of them, you know, a few months long, you know, which, of course, is a very difficult situation for everybody. So that's one of the things that makes Florida a really wonderful state. And then Florida has some other laws on top of that. We have a putative father registry, which, again, several other states have that, where it really puts the onus on a birth father to know that a woman that he's been with might be pregnant and to take action in case, a pregnancy does result and she does look at placing the baby for adoption. So it relieves that fear of, you know, even if you have a birth mom signing consent forms, what about if the birth father shows up down the road and says, oh, I never knew she was pregnant? Right. So this law keeps that from happening. And then on top of that, there's another law, which is pretty rare out there, that says that a birth father has to provide emotional and financial support to a birth mother during the pregnancy to have parental rights. So that provides a lot of comfort to adoptive parents because it's not something he can go back and change after the fact. So it's the combination of all of these laws that make it such a safe state to adopt from. Mm-hmm. And something that people don't realize is that you can adopt from any state. You don't have to adopt only from the state in which you live. Right. You can adopt from any state. So as you were mentioning, it is important to understand the laws in the different states and know which ones you're more comfortable with and which ones you're not. You know, some people don't want to go to the cost and hassle of traveling to another state, and they're more comfortable with, you know, perhaps a revocation period that their state might have. Other people say, there's no way I want to deal with any revocation period. I'm absolutely going out of state, no matter where it is.
Right. Now, I'm not sure that I understand the terminology that you're using here, but the revocation period, is that the... are you referring to the wait time? So what I've understood, and I'm not a specialist in domestic adoption by any stretch. So there is this waiting period. So after the baby is born, there's this waiting period, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever it is. Are you saying that Florida does not have that waiting period, or they do?
No, there's two different pieces to it. So there's when can the birth mom sign the consent forms, and then when does that consent become irrevocable? Okay. So usually in most states, she can sign somewhere between 24 and 72 hours after the birth. In practice, it's almost always right around when she's leaving the hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then the next piece is, okay, when is that consent irrevocable? And in Florida, as well as in several other states, it's immediately irrevocable. Again, where there's no window of opportunity for her to simply say, oh, I changed my mind. Whereas in other states, she might have 10 days or 14 days or 30 or 60 days.
To change her mind.
You know, pick up the phone and say, you know, I want custody back, and you have to do that. In Florida and the states that have this law, once that baby is placed in your arms and you take the baby home, that is your child.
Okay. So talk to us about how do you find the information that you need, and I'm sure your services help, but how do you find this information in terms of the states and what their laws are?
That, unfortunately, is very tricky to do. There is not one good repository I've ever found that has it all. There is a document on the website for Adoption Families Magazine, which I believe is adoptivefamilies.com.
Yes, it is.
It's outdated. The last time I saw it, and I do check for it regularly, it's a few years old now, but it's a good starting point. And then, you know, there are some publications such as Adopting in America that provide the information state by state, but it's not something that's always currently updated. So unfortunately, there is not one great repository where you can look at a spreadsheet and have all the current information. It's a bit more of the hunt and peck method.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes. Very important piece of information that we just got from Nicole. So obviously, if you don't know and you're working with a birth mom that is not in your state, and first of all, know the laws that are in your state first, but secondly, you need to find out the laws in the state where the birth mom is from. Would that be your advice, Nicole?
Well, where the state where the baby's going to be born.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Very good. Well, just a ton of information. I just have time to ask you one more question, and that would be just what are the three things that adoptive families would need to get started or to come to your services to begin utilizing your services? What are the top three things that they would need to have decided already?
I'd say, you know, two of them we've talked about already. I think mm-hmm. they need to be sort of emotionally prepared to go through mm-hmm. the adoption process, so whatever they need to do or whoever they need to talk to sort of get to that point. Mm-hmm. They need to be financially prepared, as we've discussed. And then, I think the third thing is really sort of embracing this idea of, you know, I don't have to go this alone. I can have a team of people to help me through this process. You know, nobody would go through the infertility process alone. You know, they have their team of doctors and nurses and therapists and so on. Mm-hmm. And yet when they get to the adoption, a lot of people suddenly try to navigate it on their own, and there's no need to do that. There are people out there who can help you. You can have a team of professionals, whether it's a consultant, whether you choose to use a facilitator or an agency or an attorney or a profile creation service or whatever it is.
Out
there. your service that helps with the financing, et cetera. There are people out there who can help. Mm-hmm. So build a professional team to guide you through the process.
Very good. Well, we want to thank you, Nicole. Again, Nicole Witt, the Executive Director of the Adoption Consultancy. Her information on her website at www.theadoptionconsultancy.com. We want to thank you so much for being here. And before we go, I want to thank our sponsors, especially a new sponsor, Adoption Mosaic. This is a new sponsor for our show. They provide educational resources and ongoing support to all those whose lives are influenced by adoption. They have a wonderful magazine. If you haven't checked this out, it's called Adoption Constellation, and it helps to build and support bridges between Adoption Constellation members with the goal of improving adoption experiences. You can find out information from them at www.adoptionmosaic.org. And then finally, our financial tip from America's Christian Credit Union. Be sure to keep receipts for all your tax purposes. If you're not sure it's deductible, be sure to keep all receipts related to your adoption journey in one place. Yes, I know that firsthand, especially adoption tax audits occur. So be prepared. America's Christian Credit Union is here to provide financial resources to Christians, including adoption loans. So you can check out some of their products that they have at www.americaschristiancu.com. That's www.americaschristiancu.com. Nicole, you've just been a fabulous guest. Thank you so much for being with us today. We have learned a ton. So be sure to, if you are listening to the show, share the show with your friends and your colleagues. And thanks so much to all of those 300,000 listeners that are helping us to grow and inspire and educate everyone all about adoption. Thanks so much. And if you have information or would like to share an idea with me, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or my host webpage at voiceamerica.com on the Variety Channel. Thanks and have a great day.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.